So grateful to be here today, brothers and sisters. I want you to think for just a second. I'm a marriage and family therapist, been trained in the psychotherapy type of world. The other day I was reading a little thing about facts that says that in the United States, 1 in 3 people have some crazy tendencies. I want you to look to the left. And then I want you to look to the right. And if they look normal, you know which one's crazy. So it is good to be here. We're going to be talking in this session so that you know is how to make good friends and how to be a good friend. When you lose your spouse, one of the things that happens is we lose our best friend. And when we lose our best friend, it is also one of those things that happens is that all of our friends around us, because they're usually couples, we lose them too. Or in our own minds, that's what we think we do. And we lose them and we stop hanging out with them and being with them. The organizers of the conference called me a month or so back and said, we want to have you change one of your topics and we want you to come prepared to talk about how to make and be good friends. The very first thing that I want you to write, because I want you to write notes, brothers and sisters, is that what I would like you to do very first on the top of your notes is that I want you to say, I'm going to make good friends and I'm not going to be romantic. Okay, now it doesn't mean that you can't go get made friends and then eventually fall into some romance, but that's not what this is all about. The problem that we have, and it isn't just with you folks, okay, it's with just about everybody that I come in contact with that is single, is that there's this thought in my head that I want to be married, and because I want to be married, life is going to go on and I need to find some romance. Men, sorry to say, but you guys are the head culprits. Okay, and it's just one of those interesting things is that we go into a social situation with people who are single and we're looking at that person and we're talking to that person and then there's these little thoughts that creep into our brain that says, I wondered if I could be married to him or I wonder if I could be married to her. And now all of a sudden then our mind switches and changes and now what we're doing is we're not out making good friends. What we're doing is we're trying to create a romance. Just a month ago, my wife and I were called, well, not a month ago, we were released, sad to say. But the last 3 years, my wife and I have been involved in a singles ward. We've been in the bishopric of a singles ward. And the very first thing that I would teach those young folks as they'd come in to visit with me is I would teach them the very first thing that I want you to do is I want you to come into the ward. I want you to be a part of this ward. But I don't want you to have one thought about marriage. How's that? Is that a bad thing for a bishopric member to tell his ward? I don't want you thinking about marriage. And the amazing thing is, in the 3 years that we were there, we had 245 marriages. So do you think they really listened? They did not. But it really made it easy for them to go forth and make friends. And as time went on for the young folks, they were there. But this class here, brothers and sisters, is not about finding romance, okay? This class here is what's all good about friends and about friendships. The very first page, because of time, I am going to let you read this all on your own, okay? The very first thing that's going to talk about is why friends are important, the benefits of making friends, because there is a lot of benefits, just to go over a couple. It improves your mood. It helps you reach your goals. It reduces stress and depression. It'll support you through the tough times. It supports you as you age. I wrote that one in. And it also boosts your sense of self-worth because we are aging and we want to feel good. But I want you to just read those on your own because I want to get in and I want to dig into to the real things that we want to be able to talk about here today. Okay? Before we get started, what I want to do first is I need to have 3 volunteers. 1, 2, 3. Would you come with me, please? Oh, no, you don't have to because those. Oh, you're not coming. She's not coming. You do have to come. Okay, is there anybody here that will also be my gatekeeper? Will you be my gatekeeper? I want you guys to go out that door right over there.
Us.
You three. I want you to go out that door right there. And the gatekeeper, you go and stand by the door. I want you guys to kind of wander around out there. Don't listen to what we're talking about.
Okay.
Okay, now what I need is I need about 10 people. Can I have a volunteer for 10 people, please? Just come on down. I want you to just come on down. You're just going to stand right there by that light. Don't let them in. I need 10 people to just come right down here. Actually, on the stage. That's even better. I want you to come down, stand on the stage. And as you guys are coming down, I'm going to explain what we're going to do. Now, what we're going to do is I just took my mic off, and I'm going to speak some other stuff, so some of you may not be able to hear me, but we're going to do a little experiment here. Because what I want these people coming down, these are my people, and these people right here are the most popular people in the comedy. Keep coming. And now I want you to go and I want you to push yourself back on the stage and I want you to form a circle. Form a circle and I want you to lock arms. Can you guys lock arms? Now, here's what's going to happen. I need a circle. They don't know what a circle is, but they're learning. I don't know how they got to be so popular. Okay. Now, here's what's going to happen. Okay, gotta listen. Here's what's going to happen. We're going to invite these three people back in one at a time. The first person that's going to come back in, these guys are going to welcome them with welcome, open arms, loving them, just making them feel good.
Okay.
The second person that comes in, you're not going to welcome them in quite so fast. And you're going to kind of ignore them a little bit. You're going to kind of say, we may want you to think. No, we don't. Yeah, come and join our party. But I want you to give them a bad time a little bit.
Are they going to come in like
one at a time? They're going to try to get into
like
the group.
Into the circle. Okay.
Right. The third one in. Don't let her in.
Oh God.
Not at all. Okay. So with that, we're going to let contestant number one, just one. Just a fun little experiment in psychology. Okay, we have this is Lily.
Yes.
Lily, this group right here is the most popular, the neatest people, the most... Wait, we're not done yet. Now you know why they're so popular. This is the group of the grievers. And I want you to go get part of it. Okay, what's this guy's name? Barry. You're not supposed to be hugging on these people. There's no romance. Oh, did you hear what they said? They need touch because they're single. That's the Vermont. Oh, he's done it twice. Okay. Contestant number two. We're going to have contestant number two. Okay, now, don't be so eager this time. Okay, Mary. Come here. I want you to look at this group. Mary, this group right here, they're a really good group of people, and your job is to go and be part of their group. I want you to get in there and be part of their group. Go. Okay, Mary. There we go. They're making her feel loved now. Okay. All right. Now, just so you know.
Yes.
These two I'm worried about you guys. Go over on the other side, because you guys are way, way too soft. Get over on the other side. Okay, contestant number three. Okay. You are contestant number three.
Yes.
Okay. It's Jody, right?
Yes.
Jody, these guys, don't pay any attention to them because they're really not very popular. But these guys are the most popular people at the conference, and I want you to go join them.
You want me to join them?
Go join them. Okay. All right. That was a total flop. Okay, wait. Whoa. I want you guys to stand here because we're gonna talk here for a minute. All right. Oh, where did they go, Lily? Where'd you go? Come forward, you two. Now, what I would like to do is first I want to interview my three people. Okay. And you were very smart. Lily, how did it make you feel when you come in?
It was awesome. I felt loved and accepted, and that made me love them.
Wow.
Yeah.
Really? Were they nice to you?
They were very nice to me.
You had a hard time.
They all loved me. And
so you switched the whole thing up when it was my turn.
Okay, how did you feel?
I felt a little bit awkward at first.
Good. And then?
Yeah. No, I felt awkward. Yeah.
You almost gave up.
I said, because typically I would. Typically I'd say, I'll go find someone else. I wouldn't take it personally. I'd just say, I'll go find someone else. Because that's how I am.
Yeah, I want to ask Jody how she felt, but it didn't work.
I felt determined. No, everybody's my friend. They just don't know it yet. I'm from Texas. Y'all come down.
Now, what I want to know is how you knew to come to these two.
We met them out in the hall. We're bonded. We know all the times that our husbands died, our kids. We know everything. Yeah. We're good.
We're fast friends.
And they did that in less than 5 minutes.
Oh, we're good.
Yeah.
Okay, now, you guys can sit down. Okay. You guys, how did it make you feel? First time?
Well, we were happy the first time, but after that, you felt like, you know, you felt horrible. I don't want to tell somebody they can't come in. That's uncomfortable for us.
We were so like, should we tighten up our arms more?
Okay, how did you feel the second person that came in?
It wasn't good.
Yeah, that was
alienated.
Yeah.
No, she's way too beautiful and friendly.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't fun. Yes.
Okay. Now, the third one kind of bypassed everything that I planned. Okay. No, don't be sorry, because it was perfect. But how did it make you guys feel knowing that you were supposed to reject her?
Oh, it's hard.
Bad.
Very hard. Bad. I'm so glad she was assertive. I'm so glad.
Now, why on earth did you guys going to do that?
Because somebody's telling us what to do and we're being bullies.
Are you always do what you're told to do? Thank you. Okay, you can sit down. Okay, now the point that I was making in this little demonstration, brothers and sisters, is this. Is there anybody here that does not want to be a friend and have a friend? I want you to look around. Everybody here, we do. And the reality of life is that we come into life, and what we want is we want to be able to have friends, we want to be validated by others, and there are things in life that stop us from being able to go through and make those friends. Even though today was one of those things where I created the atmosphere and I created the situation, there's many things that you need to look at, and what I'd like to do here for just a minute, because again, I want to go beyond what we can learn and let you read on your own, but I want to teach you, is one of the very first things that happened is that we're afraid to go out and make friends. We're afraid to go out and risk. We're afraid to go into somebody and to get them to be our friend. And so what I want you to start to look is, I want you to say, okay, flip my page around, the back of my page. What are the things that stop you from reaching out and being a friend and acting and making friends with people? What are the things? And could I have you participate with me here, please? When you write something down, shout it out so that we can know what it is that stops you from being a friend and wanting friends. Fear of rejection. Thank you.
We're tired.
Insecurities.
Tired.
Okay. What else? Time. Privacy. Depression. I'm sorry?
Past experience.
You don't want to lose somebody again. You don't want to lose somebody again. That's a big one. Thank you. Yes.
Depression.
Added responsibility. Okay? Those are the things that stop us from being able to reach out and doing this friends. Okay? What I'd like to do now is, let's just go through some of these tips, some of these things that we do. Know what to look for in a friend. They show genuine interest in what's going on in your life, what you have to say and how you think and feel about things. They accept you for who you are. They listen to you attentively without judging you. They feel comfortable sharing things about themselves with you. So as you're out there, and I'm wanting you to go and find some friends, and one of the things, brothers and sisters, that I encourage you to do as you're out there looking for friends, is I would ask that you find a friend that isn't crazy. Okay? Now, you have to understand that me as a therapist, okay, that me as a therapist, all the people that I know, I did not say that, you did. But you have to understand that when I'm around all these people, I don't feel so crazy. And sometimes we go make friends that are crazy so that we feel okay. I'm going to tell you, don't go find a friend that's crazy. I'm going to ask you to go find a friend that doesn't have a lot of drama in their life. I'm going to ask you to go find a friend that's stable and that's steady and that's solid. As you do that, then all of these lists of things, what to know, to look for in a friend, will be there. What you'll find is that because of what you've gone through, you will become what we call codependent caretakers. Does anybody here know what a codependent caretaker is? Give me a definition, please. Oh, you got the t-shirt, you wear it daily. Okay?
I'm okay and you're okay, and I'm not okay unless you're okay, and I'm going to make sure that you're okay so that I can be okay.
Wow.
That's a good definition. Cynthia, one more time. Don't take it off my pants.
I'm not okay. I'm slow. Not okay unless you're okay.
Wait, you gotta start over because okay. They're writing as fast as their little fingers will go. Go.
I am only okay if you are okay. And I'm not okay unless you are okay. And I'm going to make sure that you are okay so that I can be okay.
It's on their website. Okay, so in other words, what happens is that we go and we allow people to be dependent upon us and they'll suck you dry and realize that your reservoir is already low. You don't need any more drama in your life. So what I'm asking you to do is go find friends that are healthy. Go find friends that are healthy. Focus on the way a friendship feels, not what it looks like. Okay? Do I feel better after spending time with this person? If you go and you feel better because you spend time with them, in other words, they're filling your reservoir, I don't want you to go feel better because you filled their reservoir. I want you to feel better because they helped fill your reservoir. Okay? Am I myself around this person? That's a good question to ask yourself as you come home. Okay, do I feel safe or do I feel like I have to watch what I say and what I do? You don't want a friend that's going to go and tell your life to all of their friends. You don't want a friend that's going to, everything that you say or do, that's going to come back to bite you someday because you said and did something. Is the the person supportive and treat me with respect? And is this a person that I can trust? I want you to be able to look for that, because again, what I'm hoping that you'll do isn't to go out and find 30 or 40 new friends. What I'm hoping that you'll do is be able to go find two or three friends that can be there for you and you can be there for them. Self-disclosure, the key to turning acquaintances into friends. Friendship is characterized by intimacy. You'll know that they're friends, and you'll know that you can be a good friend when you're able to risk, okay, to be intimate with somebody. In other words, to share your personal thoughts and your personal feelings. When you're able to risk and be able to share those personal thoughts and with people, you'll know that they're your friend. You'll know that they're there. And you don't have to reveal your most closely held secrets. I hope that all of you don't share everything. You don't want to be somebody that just kind of bleh and kind of vomits all over them. You want to be able to basically keep the things that are very, very most intimate and the most important things in your life to yourself. That's, you want to be able to have those things to yourself. Okay, tips to meet new people. Okay, volunteer, take classes, walk a dog, attend an art gallery, read books or join a book reading. It's really interesting, brothers and sisters, to go online and type in your city that you live in and then type up the groups and the clubs that are there. I just happened to go online yesterday because as I was writing this, then it popped into my head, and I went online, and I found out that in Ogden, Utah, a little city in which I practice, I don't live in Ogden, but I practice in Ogden, there was like 47 different clubs, everything from dog walking to caving. They call it something else, but splunking, thank you. You know, they're cave dwellers, okay? But they had those. They had hikers. They had skiers. They had snowmobilers. They had snowshoers. They had fishing. You name it. They had all of these different clubs, and it's a good way to meet people, and it's a good way to make some friends. Behave like someone new in the area. Okay. Realize that when your spouse passes away, what you're doing is you're actually going out and recreating a new you. And so when I wrote that down, I thought, go out and pretend that you're new in the area. It isn't one of those things that you have to pretend, because you will feel like you're somebody new in the area. And you go out and you do. And then just like this little group here, okay, if we can go back to with Lily. Where did Lily go? She's there. She is right there, okay. Lily was so gracious to come in, and she joined right in, and then she felt bad because I told her she couldn't let the next person in really quick, but she did. Okay, but you become like you want to do that. So you do that. Cheer on your team, okay? What that means is that in every city that you live, realize there's high school teams, okay? How many of you go to your local sports, your high school kids' games? Okay, one of the things that we do, and our bishop made this, and that's why I put that in here, is that our bishop, a couple of weeks ago in our sacrament meeting, he challenged us as a ward to get to know the youth of our ward. And he says, if you get to know the youth of your ward, why aren't you out there watching some of those kids play soccer? And why aren't you out there watching them play football or basketball or baseball? Get to know them and go out and cheer. It's one of those things that even though you may not have a child or a grandchild on the team, you go pull your chair out there and you plop yourself down, it'll only be within a very short period of time that people will say, there's somebody over there, let's go find out who they are and who they're cheering on, and they will come and introduce yourself. But I'm asking you to do that. Unplug, okay? This is one of my pet peeves, just so you know, is that one of the things that happens, not just to you as people who are grieving, but as a society as a whole, we live by our cell phones. We live by our, can't even remember what they were because I threw mine away, iPads. Okay, we live by our iPads. We live to get on and look at Facebook. Okay, one of the problems that we have in society today, brothers and sisters, is that we go out and we have 794 people that we have friended on Facebook, but you have to understand is that you're really not their friend, but you think you've got all these friends, but the reality is what? You're following them, you're looking at them, and the reality is that there's a lot of people that are living their lives through other people's lives. But we're really not connecting with them other than to have a like or to post a little note on them. And what I challenge you to do is I challenge you to unplug. And my calling in the church, brothers and sisters, is that I'm over all the early release missionaries in the United States and Canada. Okay? One of the things that we find with our missionaries is for the first 6 weeks of their missions, they are going through withdrawals from their cell phones. Okay, when I talk about unplugging, guess what you will go through if you go and say, okay, in fact, I'm going to give you the challenge. Don't shut off your phone because you got to have your phone, but shut off your computer, shut off your TV, shut off your iPad for a month and see what it does to you for the first couple of weeks. You may go through withdrawals. What we find in research is that people who are depressed will go and get on their Facebook, or not their Facebook, but their iPad or their computer, and that's what they do. Now, what we call it is we call it zoning out. Okay? And when you zone out, you're really not out there making any connections. When you zone out, is you're going through the grieving process that you're going through. The reality is you're not really grieving, and you will still go on and on and on and on and on. That's what we worry about as psychologists, as therapists. And so what I'm asking you to do is unplug. When you unplug, what you will find is that you will become bored really, really quick. And when you become bored, the hope would be is that you get your little self up and you move out and you try to do some things that'll create some friends. Okay? Moving on. Overcome the obstacles of making friends. Those little things that you put on the back, those are the obstacles that you have to making friends. And what I want you to think about now is you look at that, as you overcome those obstacles to making friends, okay, is start to think about, all right, what have I got to do to overcome the problem? Now, I'm going to back up a little bit, and I'm going to teach you a concept, if I could. So on the back of your paper, if those of you that want to take notes. As a therapist over the 28 years that I've been doing this, what I've learned is that people need three things. The very first thing that people need, and it's not the first, so all of these are equally as important, but the first thing on the list that I'm going to have you write is they need to have acceptance. I want you in your mind, next to the word acceptance, on a scale of 1 to 10, I want you to write the need that you have, 10 being the highest, 1 being next to none. Okay, what is your need to be accepted? Our need, the need that we have to be accepted. On a scale of 1 to 10, brothers and sisters, I want you to know that my need to be accepted is about 45. Okay, I did not sleep last night because I knew that I was coming to this conference and I knew that there was going to be, 75, 80 people that I don't know. And my worry is that you're going to go away from here thinking he's a nutcase. Now you know. Okay, but I worry about it. I sweat about it. I think about it. I worry about, and there's that fear that I'm going to be rejected. And so on one side of your paper, you have that says that I have a need. The need is to be accepted. The other side of the paper, though, I want you to write the fears that you have. And one of the fears that people have is to be rejected. Okay, we have all, well, maybe some of you haven't, but I've never run into anybody that hasn't been rejected totally. All right? There are people who reject us. But I want you to think in your mind for a second. I know probably somewhere around 70, 80,000 people. In my life, I know how many have rejected me, and there's 5. What's the percentage of you getting rejected? Really, really small. But what happens is that we have that fear of being rejected, and it overcomes us. Okay? It kind of freezes us up so that we don't dare go out because we want to be accepted, but we have this big fear of being rejected. Okay? is we have that fear of being rejected. Now I'm going to go to the second need that I find that people have. And this need that people have that I'm going to talk about now is what creates that fear of rejection. And it's our need to be adequate. Every one of us has a need to be adequate. And on your little paper there, how much is your need to be adequate or good at what you do? We have this need to be adequate. What I know is I've visited with hundreds and hundreds of people who have lost their spouse is they do not feel adequate because they only feel like they're a half. And I'm sorry to say that in our church, sometimes we make people feel like they're only half. Okay? I wish that I could have an audience like this filled every week, and I could go around and talk to bishops and stake presidents and to Relief Society presidents and to people in the church to say, hey, wait a minute here. Just because their spouse dies, why is it that you're treating them differently? Because they do. And we literally go through situations like what I tried to do here on stage today. Now, when we feel inadequate, we want to feel adequate. The fear that we have, so go over on the other side of the page now and write inadequate. When you feel inadequate or you have that fear of being inadequate, what is your fear on a scale of 1 to 10? Now, here's how it happens. What happens is that we feel inadequate, brothers and sisters, because what we do is we compare ourselves, we compare our lives, our situations, our children, the way we dress, the place we live, we compare ourselves to somebody who we believe or perceive is better than us. When you compare yourself to somebody who you perceive is better than you, you will never be adequate. Okay? I don't know how many of you here drive down to the slums of wherever you live and compare yourself to the people who live in the slums and are homeless. I don't do that. I doubt you do that. But you'll go and you'll find somebody who you think his life is perfect and better than yours, and you'll compare your life to that. Over and over and over, I have sisters and brothers that come in to see me professionally, and they will say, I go to church, but I never go to fast meeting. And I say, well, why don't you go to fast meeting? Because everybody gets up and tells me how perfect their life is and mine is not. How blessed they are because they've got all of this and I'm not. So understand, in the church, it's a difficult time because we've got that going on. And then we say, what's wrong with me? What's happened to me? Did I sin? Did my spouse sin? And now that's because they're not here. And we go through that beat up ourselves in our head thing. Making sense, any of you? Okay. What I want you to be able to do is be able to drive those thoughts out of your head. Simple little technique. Actually, there's two techniques. I'll give you one that's painful and one that's not so painful. Whenever you start comparing yourself, go get one of those great big elastics that the mailman uses that bring all the letters, and you put it on your wrist. And every time you start to compare yourself to somebody else, pull that puppy back. Not this. This. And let it go. Okay, I can guarantee you that within a week's time, you will not be slapping yourself anymore, and your thoughts will go away because your brain will say, every time I think that thought, then I get slapped, and your brain will stop doing it. Okay? Now, for those of you that don't like pain, okay, there's another way. Okay? The second way is to, number one, is you got to catch yourself doing it, and then what you've got to do is you think of a color. Now, what I want you to do, each and every one of you in your mind right now, I want you to think of a color. And I'm going to tell you that my color is yellow. And I'm going to think of everything that's yellow. Okay? Sunflowers are yellow, and sun's yellow, and my wife's blouses are sometimes yellow. I don't like yellow, so I don't wear yellow. I guess I do wear yellow. My wife dressed me this morning, though, so there is a reason. But you're telling yourself a color. Now, your brain goes a million miles an hour. It actually, the average person thinks of 400 thoughts a minute. But when you want it to, it will focus on one thing. As you focus on a color, guess what goes away? All the thoughts. And now you're focused on yellow, or you're focused on blue, or you're focused on chartreuse. I don't even have to say chartreuse, let alone know what color it is. But it's one of those things that it'll stop your brain from thinking and comparing to someone else. What I do want you to do is when you stop thinking and comparing to somebody else and what their life is like or what you perceive it's like, because we don't know what goes on behind closed doors. What I want you to do, though, is I want you to compare yourself to yourself. I want you to compare yourself to yourself. Okay? You've got those obstacles on the back of your page that you have to overcome. And as you learn to say, here's where I'm at, what am I going to do this week to get a little bit better? And then at the end of that week, you're going to go and say, what am I going to do to get a little bit better? And the next week, you're going to do, what can I do to get a little bit better? As you do that, brothers and sisters, what will happen now is that you'll go and you'll start to overcome those obstacles that stop you from making friends. Okay? Just a couple of little things. Put it on your calendar. Okay? Those of you that are working, mix a little business with pleasure. Okay, one of the things that I find is that if you can find a person that'll be with you, so go make one friend and then go make more friends, as you do it as a group, it becomes easier. It becomes easier. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So when it's one-on-one, you can talk, but one of the things you may put on your thing is that you may experience a little anxiety in groups. So then you'd say, I need to be able to overcome my anxiety when I'm in groups of people. So that's how that would work. Okay? Fear of rejection. Just because someone isn't talking or hanging out doesn't automatically mean that they're rejecting me as a person. Yes? Oh, wait. Oh, sorry. It's my ADD brain. Because I am ADD a little bit. A lot. Okay, the third thing that everybody needs. Okay, the third thing that everybody needs is our agency. We need to have our agency. We need to have our choice. Okay, so our need is to have choice and agency. The fear we have is what? Loss of agency. And each of you need to know, and those of you who have been to my classes before, need to know that you do lose your agency when you lose your spouse. Okay? Can't go there because I've only got 8 minutes and it'll take you too long to get there, but if you want to come back and you want to talk to me about why you lose your agency when you lose your spouse, come find me today or tomorrow and I'll teach you the concept. But you lose your agency. And so you have this fear in life that I'm going to lose. Okay, I think one of the sisters way in the back there, you can raise your hand. One of you, yes, it was you in the middle, and then you may have said something. But the fear of losing again. Okay, that's a loss of our agency. Did you have something you wanted to say in the back? That's what I'm on, yes. Yep, the third one is agency. And Lorraine, did you have something? Okay. All right. Any questions there? Now, what you want to look at, going back to the needs that we have and the fears that we have, look and see which side of the spectrum you're working out of life in. Are we over here on the thing saying, I'm feeling rejected, I'm feeling inadequate, and I fear my loss of everything? Or am I over on the other side of the spectrum saying, I'm feeling good about myself and feeling that people I know and I love and we're feeling accepted? Are we there, the next one? Are we feeling adequate about the life and who I am? And the third thing is, do I have my choice? Do I have my agency? So I'm doing the things that I want to do and being with who I want to be. Okay? Going down, fear of rejection. We talked about the first one there. If someone doesn't reject you, that doesn't mean you're worthless or unlovable. Again, go back and think to yourself, how many times have I really been rejected? How many times have I had people say, I hate you, I don't like you, get out of my face? Okay, not your teenager. Not your four-year-old. Okay, they will say it all the time. But actual people that will do that, you may have people that have always got an excuse not to do something. It really doesn't mean that they're rejecting you, okay, and that you're not lovable, okay? And you just move on, because the reality is they're not interested in making those friendships, okay? You're not going to like everyone you meet, and vice versa. That's a fact, okay? You guys have hundreds of people in your wards. How many of them do you really want to hang out with? There's your sign, okay? Keep rejection in perspective, because it's really a very, very, very small scale. One of the things that I find, too, is that people think that as we go to church and we go out in public, that every time we wander through public in a store or to church, that people go home and they talk about us. Now, I hate to disappoint you. Sorry, they don't. Okay, they're busy in their own lives, and they're not home talking about you and all of the horrible, terrible things that you're going through. We want them to think that, but sorry, but they're not. Improve friendships by being a better friend. Be the friend that you'd like to have. Be a good listener. Give your friend space. Don't set too many rules and expectations. I would like you to 6 stars on the rules and expectations. And be forgiving. Now, our time is up, brothers and sisters. How I like to be introduced when they do introduce me, and I don't like to have people tell them other people about what I do for life and all of those things, but I like to be known as your friend. Today, yesterday, 6 weeks before this conference, I want you to know that I think about you, and I've thought about you, and I prayed about you. I want you to know that your loved ones think about you, and they pray about you, and they bug Kent Allen about you. I've learned in the last 10, 15 years as I've been dealing with grief that spirits on the other side don't have a time restraint. And they really think that I'm available 24/7, and they usually come to see me at 1 or 2 in the morning. They do. But what I want you to know is that they're here today. I felt their spirits. I felt their spirits all week. I've listened to their whisperings, and they love you. I want you to know that life is eternal. I want you to know that they still live. They still think about you. They still pray for you. And they can hardly wait to see you and hold you and touch you again. I bear testimony to you, brothers and sisters, that God lives, that Jesus is the Christ, and through his atonement, all things that you're suffering and all things that you've gone through will be made perfect. And it is through and by him that you will survive and you will thrive. That's what your spouses want you to do, is be thrivers, not just survivors, but thrivers. I bear testimony of these things humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.